The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Gobble Gobble, Mr. Wobble by Becky Cummings. Mr. Wobble is a nice big turkey, happy and healthy. Word traveled quickly on the farm that the grand Thanksgiving Day feast was Thursday, just a few days away. Farmer Joe came to the barn to share the news with Wobble the turkey. "This year we'll be having you for dinner, and it's time you got ready," said Farmer Joe with a smile. Wobble couldn't believe it. His eyes popped open. He shook all over. "I'm the dinner guest," he explained with joy. He sprang into a happy dance, flapping his feathers and creating quite the dust storm. This would be his first Thanksgiving Day feast. He wanted to be ready. He started to prepare himself. The other animals in the barn knew that Thanksgiving Day was for eating turkeys, not for inviting them to be their dinner guest. On Sunday, Mr. Wobble fancied his feathers and plucked out the old ones, and then he fluffed up his gobbler. Next, he used a little turkey drill to spike his hair. Wobble admired himself in the mirror. "Marvelous!" On Monday, Farmer Linda came to feed Wobble extra food. "There you go, baby. You eat up and get big and strong," she said with joy. Wobble couldn't believe his luck. "Extra food this week, too. Score," he hooped. He made sure to eat carefully so his feathers stayed neat. He did not want to be sticky or dirty on the big day. And in the corner, two little mice, one white and one gray, were making a map of the farm and a path to escape and making a little backpack for this turkey because they knew he needed to escape right away. And they were giving him a path to escape and things to carry on his back that he might need. On Tuesday, Wobble worked on his perfect gobble to greet the farmer and his human guests. First, he sang a few warm-up songs about some farmer called Old MacDonald. Next, he let out the loudest gobble. That startled the cow to moo, which made the ducks quack, quack, quack. The barn got loud. On Wednesday, Wobble planned to go to sleep nice and early. He was ready to celebrate a day of giving and love. Wobble finished reading his book about good table manners. Then he said a little prayer. "I'm so thankful to be the dinner guest. I love Thanksgiving." And there are the two little mice snuggling down in their little box. And there is Mr. Wobble sitting on his nice cushion, about to go to bed. Thursday was Thanksgiving. The barn mouse kept trying to make Wobble take a walk outside, but he would not go. He would not be late for dinner. The mice wanted him to take a walk outside and showing Mr. Wobble how to escape. They had the backpack ready with a flashlight and a big apple and the map for the escape route. Finally, the farmer came to the barn with his axe in hand. "Time for dinner, my friend. Let's go," exclaimed Farmer Joe. And the cow is crying, and the pig is looking so sad, and so is the little duck, and the little mice in the corner kept trying to get the turkey to sneak out. But Turkey didn't. He was ready to go. They went straight to the woodpile, and the farmer chopped some pieces of wood for the fire with that axe he was carrying. "These will do. Now come inside, Mr. Wobble." Farmer Joe threw the wood in the fire. The house lit up with warmth as the smell of freshly baked apple pie filled the room. Then Farmer Linda opened the oven and steam from the most delicious saucy lasagna poured out. The smells were almost too much for Wobble. He shook with happiness. The family gathered quickly at the table, and the farmer pulled out a chair for his beloved turkey. Time for a family feast, my friend, said Farmer Joe. Mr. Wobble, would you like to say, I mean, gobble a few words? Wobble let it all fly out. Gobble-lay-hee-ho, gobble-loo-toot-toot, gobble-tee, gobble-dee, gobble-da. I am thankful for your love toward me and for my beautiful barn where I live. But today, most of all, I am thankful for lasagna. And all the guests and the rest of the family and Mr. Turkey ate that delicious lasagna. Do you know that the people in that family are what are called vegetarians? They don't eat meat anymore. And they use vegetables in everything for their snacks, for their main meals. And they do not eat meat even for Thanksgiving. So that is how Mr. Wobble was the guest for Thanksgiving with Farmer Joe and Farmer Linda and their two kids and some other members of their family. And that is the end of Gobble Gobble, Mr. Wobble. Now, our next book today is called Pinkalicious and the Pink Drink. And this is written by Victoria Can. It was a sunny day, too hot to play. I was blowing bubbles in the shade. That made me think of the giant bubblegum machine at the toy store. I ran inside to check my piggy bank. It was empty, but I wanted a gumball. I wanted 20 gumballs. I wanted 35 gumballs, pink ones. But how could I get the money to buy gumballs? Mummy said, let's have a lemonade stand. Pink lemonade, I said. Pink, pink, pink. Mommy got out the pitcher and the sugar and the lemons. I know, I said. I'll do it all by myself. I put the sugar and the water into the pitcher. I squeezed the lemons. I stirred it all together. It tasted yummy, but it wasn't pink. I opened the fridge. Now, I didn't find any pink lemons, but I found some other pinkish things. Pink grapefruit, pink watermelon, pink frosting, and a bowl full of purplicious beets. I put all of them in the pitcher, and I stirred it all up. My little brother Peter helped me put up my pink lemonade stand, and I let him try the lemonade for free. Weird, said Peter, kind of chewy. I like it. Mr. Peabody came by and gave me a quarter. My first real customer. Mr. Peabody made a face. It's definitely missing something, he said. Either that, or it has too much of something else. People could not figure out what all those tasty things were in the pink lemonade. You know, the beets to put in the watermelon, something else pink, some pink frosting. And anyways, they could not figure it out. But I had an idea. The sweeter the better, I said. I ran and got the honey bear and squeezed the honey in. Peter stirred and, oh no, he knocked over the pitcher. I'm sorry, Pinkalicious, he said. Don't get mad at me. But I got mad. That's easy to fix, Pinkalicious. We'll make some more, said Mommy. I started to get out the pink grapefruit, pink watermelon, pink frosting, and purplicious beets. What's all that? Mommy asked. That's how I made it pink, I told her. Mommy said, how about we use just one thing to make it pink this time? And she pulled out some strawberries. Yum! It wasn't as exciting or as lumpy as the first batch, but it was still a beautiful pink lemonade. I sold the whole pitcher in no time flat. Mr. Peabody came back with his wife and his three grandchildren, and there was another little girl there, and they all bought pink lemonade, and this time, I think Mr. Peabody probably liked it. I went to the toy store with my lemonade stand money, 6 quarters, 4 dimes, 5 nickels, and 10 pennies. 9 gumballs, all pink ones, 8 for me and 1 for Peter. Peter looked sad. I gave him 3 and kept 6. Peter still looked sad. I stuffed 1 gumball in my mouth, kept 4, and gave 4 to Peter. Even Stephen, Peter said. He was very happy. Gumballs don't last forever, and my piggy bank is empty again. Maybe tomorrow I'll have a bake sale, and I can make pink cupcakes. And if we all know that Pinkalicious is a little girl who just loves pink as her very favorite color. She wears pink everything, and she likes to drink pink lemonade, and she has a pink bedspread in her room, and pink curtains, and even a pink dresser. So, but that was the story of Pinkalicious and her pink lemonade. Our next book is Happy Thanksgiving, Curious George. And this is a Curious George book written by Cynthia Platt and Julie M. Bartinsky. And we all know that Curious George was a little monkey who lived with the man in the yellow hat. So here we go. Happy Thanksgiving, Curious George. Thanksgiving Day. George wakes up in the morning. Something smells quite nice. He knows for sure he wants some. A piece, a smidge, a slice. He rushes to the kitchen, and there he sees the man with yellow hat and apron, a turkey in the pan. The turkey's in the oven. It takes some time to cook, but every now and then George can't help but take a look to make sure it's cooking right, that is. And this one is Parade. It's a Thanksgiving Day parade. Horns blow loud, drums beat low. The parade is here, oh my. George loves to hear the music as the band comes marching by. Way up in the sky, look, a giant bear. George just loves the big balloons that float as light as air. Circus clown, upside down, and acrobats galore. A tumbler and a juggler with balls. 1, 2, 3, 4. Monkey see, monkey do. George likes the juggling man. He jumps right in and juggles as only monkeys can. Crafting fun. Crayons, paper, scissors, some glitter, and some glue. George is now quite ready to make a craft or two. A handprint at a turkey with feathers oh so sleek. It has so many colors and a little pointy beak. Some autumn leaves are needed to make the house look fine. George uses bright fun paper and strings them on a line. A tall black hat for George with brim and buckle too. George makes a hat that's yellow, a gift for you know who. Setting the table. Laying down the tablecloth, flowers everywhere. A special treat for all their guests. A turkey on each chair. And George has made little paper turkeys for the top of each chair. Knives and forks and napkins, and don't forget the spoons. The table must be ready before the clock strikes noon. Now hang those pretty strings of leaves around the room with care. Oh my, they must get cooking, and the guests will soon be there. In the kitchen. Carrots slice, turnips dice, and oh, those string beans look so nice. Apple pie. Pumpkin pie. So many tasty treats to try. Here George is sticking his finger right in top of the pumpkin pie, which is not really a good idea, is it? Biscuits bake, spicy cake, and mashed potatoes still to make. Turkey's done, so much fun, the doorbell's ringing, have to run. Balancing act. The man comes in the kitchen, it's almost time to eat. He brings the dishes one by one as guests all take their seats. George is ever curious. Could he carry more? Using monkey feet and hands. 2, or 3, or 4? George takes the golden ears of corn, the turnips in his grip. He quickly adds the biscuits, but the basket starts to slip. Baskets tumble through the air. George dashes right and left, left and right. He catches each delicious piece. What an amazing sight! The turkey's on the table now. George has a happy grin. But there's something they want to do before they can dig in. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. So, what are you most thankful for? The question goes around. For home and health and family. So many reasons found. We're thankful for Thanksgiving. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. George knows what he is thankful for. The man gives him a smile. And then George says he's thankful in happy monkey style. They're thankful for each other. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. And there's George with the hand holding the hand of the man in the yellow hat, jumping up and down on his seat because he's so happy for all the good things he has. And that's the end of this book. And this month, by the way, is November, and November is at the last Thursday in the month of November. So that's what we have to look forward this month. This book is called I Wonder by K.A. Holt. And this is a book, and it might be a little boy or a little girl who just asks questions all the time because he or she just wonders about things all the time. What if the sun is really a kite? Can you imagine that, a kite? The sun is a big yellow kite flying around in the sky. Is cereal afraid of the spoon? I wonder if sandwiches get mad when you bite them. What if the ocean is really just one huge, gigantic water bottle? And here are a lot of cars up out on the highway, going zipping along fast, trucks and cars, big cars, little trucks, big trucks. Do tires get tired? I wonder if dragonflies dog paddle. Do bubbles tickle everything they touch? Is a fly a baby in the morning and an old man fly at night? Does a grasshopper have to take hopping lessons so that it can hop? I wonder if cars and trucks speak the same language. And here's a picture of a little car and a big old truck passing each other. And this person wonders if cars and trucks are actually talking to each other. Do windmills ever get tired? And where are all the unicorns hiding? This picture has one unicorn peeping out from behind one of the windmills, but that's all that there are to find in this picture. And let's see what comes next here. These pages are a little hard to turn today. I wonder if boy ladybugs are called boy bugs. What do clouds taste like? Do they taste like anything? Do my toys miss me when I'm gone? And how does a clock know what time it is? I wonder if shoes feel sad when they don't fit me anymore. Could there be a galaxy inside my belly button? Do you think that's possible? I wonder if books read us, too, when we read them. And what do stars do during the day when they've disappeared? Is wind made or born? Do trees have dreams? All these questions. I wonder if teddy bears ever cry. And why don't shadows smile when you smile? That's strange, isn't it? I wonder how tomorrow knows how to get here. And here the little boy is tucked into bed by his mom, and he says to her, I wonder why I wonder so much. And the mom answers, because you are wonderful. And that is the end of this book. It's called I Wonder. Do you ever ask a lot of questions? Anyways, that was a very nice book, I thought. Our next story is called Good Night, Little Bear, and it's by Patsy and Richard Scarry. It is time for Little Bear to go to bed. Mother Bear closes the storybook. She gives Little Bear a good night kiss. Then over to his big, furry father runs the little bear. Whee! Father Bear swings his little one high up onto his shoulders for a ride to bed. Duck your head, calls Mother Bear, just in time. And into the snug little bedroom they go. Squeak, the tiny bear sighs as Father Bear, who's quite a large bear, sits down. Now into bed with you, he says. And he waits for Little Bear to climb down. But Little Bear doesn't move. He sits up on his father's shoulder and grins. Father Bear waits. He yawns a rubbly yawn. Is Father Bear falling asleep? No. Suddenly his eyes open again. Why, I must have been dreaming, said Father Bear, pretending to wake up. But what's this? There is no furry head on the pillow in the bed. Where can Little Bear be? Father Bear looks under the pillow. Nobody there. He doesn't seem to feel something or someone tickling his ear. Aha, there's a lump under the blanket. Father Bear pats the lump. But it doesn't squeak or wiggle. Can this be Little Bear? No. Why, it's the toy teddy and the blue bunny waiting for Little Bear to come to bed. Mother, that naughty bear is hiding, said Father Bear to Mother Bear with a wink. Maybe he's hiding under the kitchen stove, says Mother Bear, who loves a joke. Bang, bang, Father Bear rattles the pots and pans on the top of the stove. Little Bear, I'm coming to get you, he roars. Father Bear reaches under the stove. He feels something soft and furry. Is it Little Bear? No, it's only Father Bear's old winter mitten. Way up high, Little Bear claps his paws to his mouth, but not in time. I heard that Little Bear laugh, says Father. Now where can he be hiding? Is he standing outside the front door? I'll turn the knob softly and fling the door wide. No, there are no bears out there, just a family of fat little rabbits nibbling lettuce in the garden. Shoo, snorts Father Bear. The rabbits go bounding off. Something is hiding in the wood box, whispers Mother Bear. Creep over there on tiptoe, and maybe you can catch a little bear. Eek! There's just a wee mouse hiding in there, and it jumps out and goes running off. There's nobody up high on the china shelf. Ouch! Little Bear bumps his head. Because Father Bear is standing on a stool, so he definitely hits Little Bear's head on the ceiling. Who said ouch? Asks Father Bear. Mother, did you say ouch? Not I, smiles Mother Bear. Oh, she is a tease. Now, where is that naughty bear hiding? He wouldn't run away. Not a little bear who is always hungry for chocolate cake. And that big daddy bear cuts himself a huge piece of chocolate cake right under the little bear's nose. Little Bear suddenly feels hungry, but just then Father Bear stops smack in front of the mirror. Why, there he is, roared the big bear. But you couldn't find me, squeaks Little Bear, reaching for the chocolate cake. Whee! Off Daddy's shoulders and down to the sofa. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Wasn't that a good hiding place, Mummy? Nobody could find me up there. But I found you now, said Father Bear. Little Bear wiggles and giggles under his daddy's strong arm, all the way to bed, as his mommy sits on the couch and waves goodbye to him. Did I really fool you, Daddy? Asks Little Bear. Father Bear just laughs and winks. Do you think Father Bear knew all the time? And that's the end of that book. Good night, Little Bear. This next book is The Mixed Up Chameleon by Eric Carle. On a shiny green leaf sat a small green chameleon. It moved onto a brown tree and turned brownish. Then it rested on a red flower and turned reddish. When the chameleon moved slowly across the yellow sand, it turned yellowish. You could hardly see it. When the chameleon was warm and had something to eat, it turned sparkling green. But when it was cold and hungry, it turned gray and dull. When the chameleon was hungry, it sat still and waited. Only its eyes moved up, down, sideways, until it spotted a fly. and then the chameleon's long and sticky tongue shot out and caught the fly. That was its life. It was not very exciting, but one day the chameleon saw a zoo. He had never seen so many beautiful animals. A bear, an elephant, a big turtle, a flamingo, some fish in the aquarium, a seal, a red fox and a yellow giraffe, and a beautiful brown deer with big antlers on his head. The chameleon thought, "How small I am, how slow, how weak. I wish I could be big and white like a polar bear." And the chameleon's wish came true. The chameleon turned white. But was it happy? No. "I wish I could be handsome like a flamingo," said the chameleon. And there, this white chameleon now added red, orangey pink red wings, like just like a flamingo, and long pink legs. And he looked really funny with these, but he had wings and, like a flamingo, and legs like a flamingo, and white like a polar bear. "I wish I could be smart like a fox." And then he grows a big, red, bushy tail like foxes have. "I wish I could swim like a fish," thought the chameleon. And here he sprouts fins, orangey fins to swim with. "I wish I could run as fast as a deer." And he grows brown antlers on top of his head. He's really starting to look sort of silly. "I wish I could see things far away like a giraffe." And then he gets a yellow, tall yellow neck with black spots, just like a giraffe. "I wish I could hide in a shell like a turtle." And there on his back suddenly grows a big turtle shell. So now he says, "I wish I could be strong like an elephant." And suddenly, he still has the giraffe head, but on top of that giraffe head, he has a big elephant's head. "I wish I could be funny like a seal." And he grows flippers down near his tail and down near the fish fins. "I wish I could be like people." And just then a fly flew by. The chameleon was very hungry, but the chameleon was very mixed up. It was a little bit of this, and it was a little bit of that, and it couldn't catch a fly because it had an elephant's head. "I wish I could be myself." And the chameleon's wish came true, and it caught the fly. And there he is once again, a nice green chameleon catching a fly with its long green, long brown tongue. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.